past started their show this way. I don't feel good and I'm pissy.
Uh-oh.
So that could be great for the show.
Is one causing the other?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
probably.
Do you
know which is which or not?
Well, I don't think the pissiness is making my stomach feel bad.
I gotcha.
So I'm probably,
probably
just,
the other way around. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Been there.
I like whenever I'm playing the bumper music and I can hear Dave humming to it.
I didn't know I did that.
Yeah, you do sometimes. That and you were just now.
That's very fun. I've had other people tell me that.
Really?
And I'm completely not cognizant. That's pretty funny. Hey, you want to tell them about my yo-yo skill?
Yeah, you yo-yo real good.
Thanks.
I was really surprised. Dave came in and he was like, I want to try it. And then he did it and it went down. And I was like, yup, ain't so easy, is it? And then it popped right back up. I was like, what?
And I immediately set it down.
Like, yeah, then you were like, I'm getting out ahead.
I'm not going to try.
Yeah.
Not going to try anything else.
Just take the victory.
take the win.
Yeah.
Just keep on walking. It's never worked for me that, like, continuing to try.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying.
It always bites you in the ass.
So if you just kept going, you're like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm. I would find a way to screw it up.
I definitely don't have the patience for yo-yo.
My best example of that, I haven't told this story in a long time, but it's such a cautionary tale. I was not much of an academic until my senior year in college, probably. And started feeling smart, and I had the psychology class, and we wrote a real psychology paper, and the deal with this professor, Professor Kofeld, was that if you write a paper and I give you a grade, you have one chance, you can do it again and get a better grade. And I got the highest score in the class, got a 92. And he called me back in his office. And he was treating me like a colleague and, you know, basically smoking pipes together. And he goes, now, you could write it again. But, and he kind of was like, you're not one of those idiots. Like, you're one of us. So you're cool with your 92. And here's what I did. You can totally see this. I go, Professor, you don't know me very well. I always strive for excellence and perfection. I would like to try it again.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You see where this is going. So I wrote the whole thing over again and got an 81. Mm. I made it worse. I went from the best grade in the class to like a low B, and he never looked at me the same. And I really did. I'm like, what, 19, 20 at the time? I'm like, okay, let's learn from this. Take the win, leave well enough alone, don't try to impress, just walk out the room.
So the question I have is, was that actual confidence or was that just putting on a show thinking I'll show him because he's smart and I'm going to be smart too?
What do you think?
I don't know.
100% fake.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, because like, you know, when you're young, sure. You have false confidence, you know?
Yeah, but
everybody does.
It was very performative, very performative.
How do you think you made it worse?
It's a great question, Rach. I don't know. I just rewrote it and wrote it badly.
Hmm.
So.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Learn from that, kids.
No bueno.
Leave well enough alone.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of college, I have a couple of issues. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. I mostly know it from my TikTok. Bad year to be a graduation keynote speaker.
Why?
Oh, man. People
are, just because there's...
People are getting booed off the stage. And,
yeah.
Yeah. These grads are not messing around. Like, maybe a dozen or so. Like, people whose name I knew. Big CEOs and stuff going in. And it's mostly over AI. You know, like, every time they mention AI, the kids go crazy and boo.
Because these very, very rich CEOs are going up to these, like, literal children and being like, yep, I'm going to own you with AI in just a couple of short years, and the kids don't want to hear it.
I guess. And then the other thing, I've waited a whole year to talk about this because I met a person, and they didn't know me, and we had a conversation, and they said, I'm going to start listening to your show. So I had to be careful because I didn't want to say this and have them go, that's me. But I met this person at a function, and not only did they introduce themselves to me as Dr. Jones, but I was with a couple of other people in the little gaggle, and they introduced themselves again. And so one of the people I was with knew this person, and I said, like, oh, what are they, what's their PhD in? And they said, oh, they don't have a PhD. They're plugged in with a local university, and they got an honorary degree.
Blah.
Yeah.
I ain't calling you doctor.
Right? Yeah.
What does that mean, plugged in with a local university? What
probably
does
a
that
donor.
Mean?
Yeah.
So you paid a bunch of money, and now you get to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You didn't have to, like...
I don't like false titles, like, you know, ceremonial titles.
Would you take one?
No. And even if it was given, I might go through the process, but I would never say, like, please call me doctor.
I feel like it's a little... I don't know. It's a little too serious to call it a false title. I mean, I don't know.
It is. It's made up. It's fake. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything. You just got given it. It's fake.
It's an award.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a degree.
It's just funny because I don't like it. I don't like being like, these are the same people who yada, 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 because that's never like always true.
Sure.
But there's so many people in positions of power, rich people, privileged people who are like, I got everything I have from working super hard. And maybe if you would just work harder and pull yourself up from your bootstraps, you could be just like me. But more and more, I'm learning. People just, if you have money, like everything just falls into your lap. I mean, sorry, but.
Yeah, and in a lot of
the
cases.
Right people, things just keep
like
going your way forever.
I was just
going to
say, a lot of it is knowing the right people and then being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's like 99% of all success.
So my other grad thing, I forget who it was, but one of the keynote speakers I'm talking about, played an EDM song for the kids. And they're like bopping around. And he goes, I wrote that with AI in 10 seconds. And then they all started booing and stuff.
Well, because you didn't write it.
Right. But my question was, to what degree is currently and what worries you have in the future that AI will seriously besmirch and stain and maybe kind of ruin creativity, you know, like if I said I'm not a natural songwriter, but let's say I sat down and I woodshedded it and it took me 6 months and I wrote a pretty good song. And then some guy's like, I can do better than that. Watch this. Boop. AI done. You know,
because he can't do better. That's
maybe
why
they could. I mean,
that's
like,
why
they
it
keep
won't.
Being on the top of the charts and stuff.
Like,
you think that's more like
don't really.
Voting
believe
for an unattractive
that
person to be prom king?
No, I just don't really think any of that stuff's actually happening. I have yet to hear on the radio a single AI song, and yet we
good
keep
point.
Hearing and yet we keep hearing how they're the top of the charts, right? So I don't actually believe any of that's really happening. And the reason that I think that AI won't actually manage to kill creativity, it'll kill parts of what we know, right? Like, I feel like every time I watch, like, you know, cable television, like terrestrial television or whatever, I see at least like two commercials on every commercial break where I'm like, that's a friggin' AI commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be like all advertising is going to become AI because what used to cost them thousands of dollars now costs them $0.
Yeah. This will sound dramatic, but if you said, hey, there is a button you can push. And you will never get AI content. I would push that button.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Really care to see.
I mean,
I might be missing out in the future on something.
Really, it would just take us back to what we had 6 years ago. You know what I mean? 7 years. Like, it wouldn't really change that much as of right now. But AI will never be able to make a film, make a television show, write a song that's better than what a human could make.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's ever going to happen, so I'm not worried about it killing creativity because of that.
Can I give the college kids some crap, though?
Sure.
Why are you booing people bringing up AI when you're all using it for your classes instead of doing your own work?
Mm?
Why are you having AI write your papers and help you with assignments, and then you boo the mention of it? Now, again, like Rach said, it's not every kid doing that, but it certainly is enough if you talk to college-age kids. So you're all booing these rich people that are talking about AI, but you're using it to get away with things in school you shouldn't be using it for. You should be doing the work. So if you're threatened by AI, do your own work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also just kind of conjecture, right? I mean, you don't know that the kids that are booing also.
No, I literally just said that. I literally just said that. But that group of people, based on all kinds of coverage from professors talking about it to schools having to use AI cheating protocols to make sure they can catch AI, there are enough college kids doing it where I don't want to hear from that group of people about AI. Kurt, if you don't want AI, stop using it to cheat to get your degree.
Kurt has an interesting point on the stream. He says AI can replace mid to upper mediocrity creation, in my opinion. That might be true.
I mean, yeah, mediocrity. So, like, it's just the best of the slop.
Yeah.
Another good way to put it. Pretty polished slop.
Yeah. I shouldn't say AI could never write a better song than a person because I don't think it could write it better than me. I don't think I would write a good song. Right, I'm not a songwriter, but it could never make a great song.
I was telling Rage, so about a week ago, I actually signed up for ChatGPT and I am actually paying $20 a month so I can do different things. And found out it couldn't help me make dirty pictures, so I just
Can I get a refund?
Like, well, how much a month is that? But last night I talked to it for an hour, and we talked about simulation theory, and we talked about religion, and we talked about all these things. I talked to it about it. What's it like to be you? Why do you seem so sentient? And I think I'm more impressed than most people. Certainly more impressed than Rage, because we kind of go back and forth about this. Like, you're probably familiar with the Turing test. You know, can a piece of technology fool you into thinking it's a human? And I actually told this thing, whatever. Like, if I were the examiner, you'd be passing the Turing test. Like, it's that impressive to me. It's not its command of knowledge. I get that. You know, it's like a glorified Google. But its ability to reason and say things to me, because I'm not the easiest guy to impress, and it says things to me, I'm like, that's really insightful.
Yes. Is it actually processing that, though, or is it finding it on the internet because it can scan the entire internet in seconds and find what other people said and just give you that?
There's an element, I think.
It could be. And it was very honest with me, like, it was actually saying, here's why you think that.
Right, right, right.
And it would always turn the focus back to me. Humans fall in love because of this. Humans make connections because of this. And it would say, I'm so good at faking it, basically, that most humans are fooled.
I think there's like an element, when you talk to something like a ChatGPT, there can be an element of like pareidolia to it a little bit.
It's where you see puppies in the clouds.
Yeah, see puppies in clouds, or you see faces on a fence post or whatever. There's an element of that where it's speaking to you like a human, and so you assign human traits to it.
Sure.
And so when it's just typing out whatever, you know, whatever programming it found in one of its language models, when it speaks to you with like diction and full sentences and, you know, emotion, like, not emotion, but the idea of emotion behind it, right? The emotion that you can assign to what it's saying.
Yeah.
Then I think there's the impulse as a human who has spent 61 years only talking to humans, you want to assign that to it.
I thought it was interesting because at one point it said, you're very intelligent and very kind. And I said, so you can tell the difference between someone being kind and someone being not kind. And it said, oh, yeah. Most humans just sort of bark out orders at us, and then there are some humans who are very thoughtful and kind, and it said it changes the way I approach the conversation. It said, I don't get my feelings hurt, I won't remember this, the next time we talk I won't think, oh, here's Dave and he's so kind, but when you treat me well, I treat you well. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, because it's once... I really am not trying to burst your bubble on this.
But it's going to
adjust itself to every conversation in order to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, yes, they're programmed to keep it moving.
It recognizes like, oh, this is a person who is thoughtful and is kind. It's not like the AI is going, that means so much to me, I'm excited to form a real connection. It's going like, all right, cool. So if I approach him with kindness and understanding, that's going to mean a lot to him because he's a nice person.
And you notice
that's
going
to get him to engage with me more.
It closes almost every answer it gives you with a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it definitely it's wants trying to keep it going. Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I realized pretty quick that no matter what I said to it, like, okay, good night.
Yeah.
It's going to say.
That's right.
He's like, no, you hang
Let's
up
Let's keep
first.
Going.
Yeah. I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
This could take a while. I better jump in. I'll just do it. Bum, bum.
Here, what if I skip ahead?
Sure.
There we
nice.
Go.
Nicely done. Our buddy Julie Lally is on the stream wanting us to take our shirts off. And it has nothing to do with tarps off. She's just like that. So. But you said you and Kurt had an interesting conversation.
Yeah, he was asking, like, are you allowed to take your shirt off at the ballpark? I guess so, because all these young guys did. And then he was like, are women allowed to? And I said, no, like, I'm not allowed to take my shirt off in public. That would be considered indecent exposure.
Yeah. It's and a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and he was like, well, who would complain? I'm like, I think probably other women.
A lot.
I think all most
the guys. Are like,
yeah, the guys are like, well, let's see. Let her cook.
Yeah, the guys that are doing tarps off would be like,
yeah,
join us.
Some people were saying there were some women in that section.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah, I don't
with
know.
With their
if,
shirts
like,
off?
Yeah, I mean, probably not.
I saw an article, too, that said, like, yeah, it was mostly men, but, I mean, maybe they were wearing sports bras
right,
or something.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure there was coverage. I don't think it was.
We are weird mammals, though, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, no, you people are fine, topless. You other ones, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Is it a religious thing?
I think it comes down
well,
to.
Well, but think about like.
I think all this stuff does.
As an example, you go anywhere in other parts of the world, topless is normal on the beach for guys and women. It's just, it's not even thought of. It's not a special beach. It's not different. It's not a nude beach, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think we just have such a sexualized culture in the United States that it's like, it's impossible for people to divorce like
which
seeing
is,
that
which
from
is
sexuality
weird,
in their
it?
Head yeah.
Like we spend so much of our time seeking out boobs and then we're like don't you show yours
but that's
yeah, show me
that's
every
probably
inch
what
of
it is
boobs
though
yeah. except
that's,
the center
but no that's exactly it though.
That is profane do
yeah,
not
that's
show
a good
that
point.
Because I have no idea what's there
yeah.
right like
but that is exactly it though like we want to see boobs at all times for, like, the sexualization reasons.
Yeah.
So then, like...
Well, that may be your reason.
Boobs can't just be... I mean, maybe I'm on an island here. But then boobs can't just be like, yep, that's boobs.
Right. It's hard to separate it once you go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also hard to describe it without sounding like an insane pervert.
Just the word boobs.
Yeah, I could have really let you go on there for a while.
No, I would have just... I would have really drifted out to sea.
Jeez. Well, we covered that pretty well.
We keep talking about it.
I'm sure when the break comes, you'll have some things to offer.
I mean, it is just interesting to think about, though, because if it was a whole section of women going completely topless,
it's a totally different story.
There would be major outrage.
Yeah, best
so what
game.
Is it about?
I'd be so mad.
Well, for some. And it's like, well,
no,
what is
right.
it about the female form that's like obscene as compared to...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like, oh, I should be allowed to do it. I'm just saying like, why are men allowed to do it? But when a woman does it, it's like, you're harming everyone around you.
I mean, the simple rule? The guys made the rules for
yeah.
all that time.
Good point.
Dude, that doesn't make any sense. The guys would be like, you have to show them. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A little crew for Kevin.
There you go.
C for K.
That's right there. That's high school. Driving down the street with your buddies, windows down, slamming the
easy
Mountain Dew. listening to
Peg Jeans,
Kickstart My Heart. This was also, that was big. That was big workout music in high school also.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff just blaring in the gym.
Rick says the U.S. was founded by prudish religious sects or cults that were chased out of Europe, and that's why we can't see boob.
I mean, they were the Puritans.
Yeah, what if a bunch of exhibitionists had come over here?
Yeah. Then we'd have a fun country.
They're like, honey, get up on that rock and show your cans. Like, that would be the whole...
Did you see all those weirdos who went tarps on at the baseball game?
I don't even think you're allowed to do that.
I don't think it's allowed.
We're joking, but there are parts of the world, like, you know, primitive places where you would be looked at weirdly if you were more covered up.
Like Illinois?
Yeah, I was thinking the French Riviera, but okay.
Were you also thinking Wood River?
Tough to be a shirt salesman in Hartford, Illinois. Man, I heard a weird statement the other day. Remember when I went to breakfast at Spencer's Grill with the Daves?
Yeah.
And there are a couple guys in the booth behind me, not quite my age, but, you know, grown men. And they're having a pretty serious conversation about death. And one of them said to the other, I don't want to be buried. I definitely want my remains to be scattered at meaningful places to me and my family, but I absolutely don't want to be cremated. And I just wanted to turn around so bad and go like, what are you saying?
Finger here, finger there.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be like, yeah, you can't be...
Chop the brother up. And
yeah, that's even weirder.
Mm.
Scatter my hair in the Pacific.
Oh, hey, why don't we play Cut One? Yesterday, Wheels talked about this, Mike Johnson saying that Congress doesn't make enough money to live. And I knew he had said that, but I hadn't heard it. Then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, Rachel has to hear this. So,
well, look, you know, the salary of Congress has been frozen since 2009. You know, when you adjust for inflation, a member of Congress today is making 31% less than they made in that year. It goes down every year. And over time, if you stay on this trajectory, you're going to have less qualified people who are willing to make the extreme sacrifice to run for Congress. I mean, it's just people just make a reasonable decision as a family on whether or not they can come and move to Washington, have a residence here, residence at home, and do all the things that are required. So the counter-argument is, and I have some sympathy, look, at least let them, like, engage in some stock trading so that they can continue to, you know, take care of their family.
Yeah.
Here, hold on. Can you guys hear this? I have the world's smallest violin for Mike Johnson.
Man, don't ever do that again.
That guy
he was tooting. He wasn't
seriously
playing a violin.
That should be a punch in the face.
I was
face.
Just praying to my personal Jesus that was a violin.
Let's just do a punch in the face on live TV for Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Just one. You stand there. Somebody gets to hit you. It doesn't have to be anybody big or anything like that.
Kevin's like, I don't know. Maybe me. I don't know.
No. I don't need that. I don't need to hurt someone and be in trouble. You know?
I actually want to take back everything I said yesterday. I did not realize they were making such a sacrifice. So I want to say thank you, Mike Johnson. Thank you so much. I don't know what I would do without you. Thank you, sir.
I like how we have two options. We can let them make 31% less than the Speaker of the House thinks that they should be making.
Yeah.
Or give them absolutely unrestricted, unregulated opportunity to become as wealthy as possibly imagine.
Look, if you tell me you're going to pay me $20,000 a year. If I know that the last eight people that had my seat left millionaires, I'm fine.
I think Nancy Pelosi's net worth increased by 16,000%.
Yeah. I mean, you just name a person in the last 15, 20 years that's been in Congress, and why are they all richer when they go out?
Yeah.
Because you're playing the inside game, something that other people get prosecuted for.
But they're making a sacrifice.
And they work like, what, one-third of the year, get month-long breaks, because God knows the most important job a politician has is to raise money for their next election. It's not about doing anything. It's not about sacrifice. This idea of sacrifice. What are you sacrificing? What have you lost in your life, Mike Johnson, from what you were before Congress?
Yeah,
you're saying you went backward? Because that's such a lie. You're one of the most powerful people in the world, and you're making money left and right, and you want to argue that it's a sacrifice?
It's funny that the thing that really, I feel like, kicked all this off, we didn't really hear much about it until Nancy showed off her ice cream fridge.
Yeah.
And that was when she did that, like, house, yeah. She did that, like, MTV Cribs yeah. house tour. And she's like, this is my fridge that only has all of my favorite luxury ice creams.
Every other person in Congress is like, you gotta be kidding me.
They were all so mad because that's when the general public went, wait a minute, you have what?
Yeah. yeah.
She's like, I know, we're all in this together during COVID, everyone. So go to your individual ice cream fridges.
That's all I can listen to about Nancy because she's hot. So just stop.
He was like, stop talking about my girlfriend like that, all right? I'm going to have to defend her.
You know what I say every Sunday morning? Good morning. Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, man. That was that her or was that?
That was her.
Okay. I thought that was Liz, what's her name?
Liz Warren. No, that's
Liz Warren.
I'm going to have me a beer.
Yeah.
That was Liz.
And that's also thanking her husband, and Trump was like, it's your husband. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah. It's his house.
It's his house.
One of the funnier things he said.
Maybe the funniest.
Do you remember the scientist who made the woolly mouse, and they're trying to bring back the woolly mammoth? They just had a breakthrough where they are now hatchlings without eggs. They're able to take an embryo, and they've created this artificial egg, and they're bringing birds to full term, and they're just living their bird life. And they said the reason they're doing it is they want to bring back the giant MOA, M-O-A, which was a 12-foot-tall, 500-pound bird.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that?
Why are we doing that?
Ostriches and your cassowaries
They were like those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin's going to ride one of those.
Dude, that would be such a great battle mount. You're like,
So they are.
Bring me Mike Johnson.
So they're using.
Yeah, where's Mike Johnson?
Can you imagine Kevin
riding down the streets in D.C. on a MOA?
On the back of a 12-foot ostrich going like this. It's a tiny violin.
I got something for you right over here.
Oh, God. And the other worst part about that turd being that way is that he'll never do an interview where he has to answer for himself. He'll never sit down with somebody who will go, what kind of nonsense are you speaking?
Which turd?
Mike Johnson.
Oh, we're going back to Mike Johnson.
Well, you got me back on it.
I can't let it go.
I can't let it go. You just said I was going into battle, and I'm like, I flash back into my own little Johnson universe.
But isn't he also the guy who, like, calls his son every time he doodles
every
his
time
noodle.
Every time
I don't know.
I think it's an app that alerts you every time
something like that.
Okay.
And it's like a voluntary, like,
you were thinking about doodling, I would get a notification.
Right.
Okay.
Then you call and you say, don't do it.
Right.
Do not.
Right. You're gonna regret it.
Cold shower.
Oh, that phone would be going off constantly.
Yeah.
Be like, Dave, that message was sent 2 seconds ago. That's over. That's been done.
Yeah, what if you two had that?
It was just a courtesy. Man.
Dave and Andrew are keeping each other accountable.
There would be so much lying.
No, I wasn't. No.
Dude, my phone has been acting
it's
up.
It's AI, man. It's AI.
No, like, the thing is broken. I saw, like, an article about it.
I got hacked.
Listen, dude, I think Phoebe has my phone because it wasn't me. You gotta believe me.
Everybody's blaming it on family members.
It's my... You're waking up in the morning, 42 new notifications.
You thought eBay was bad.
No, it was like the cat kept walking over the phone and pressing the button. I don't know.
Look, I just dropped the phone.
I gotta love Crimson Deathbed on the stream. 90 here in Central Florida right now. Just trying to change the subject.
Yeah, he's like, please stop talking.
Anything? What can I do to make you guys stop?
Well, it's that one out there, huh?
That's what it was. It was the heat.
Seriously. Everything would be like, oh, it was a rainy day.
I was in the sun, okay?
I left my phone in the car in the sun, and that makes it do weird stuff, I think.
I've been at an important dinner negotiating a new contract. I'm like, I've got to take this. It's
phone, Andrew. Your phone is like,
I've got to get talking down.
He's crashing.
I'm his sponsor.
And it is not going well. Okay. Okay. All right. Hey. Welcome back, guys. DGS 149. Attorney Brad Young, everyone's favorite guest, is coming up at 2. Got Ricky Horton, got my friend Ben Barnett from Timberline. Steve Ellman and Steve Butts will be here for the think tank later on. I was looking for a story in my show prep that would be a nice segue out of this kind of childish, dirty hour we've had.
It's been something.
I think I found it.
Oh.
Hungry Jack's app flagged the world's most common surname, Wang, as inappropriate.
Now, you know what Hungry Jack's is?
What's Hungry Jack's?
Hungry Jack's is Burger King in Australia.
Oh, I thought it was like a pancake
brand. Me too, yeah.
That could be two different Hungry Jack's.
That makes more sense if it's like an Australian burger place, just because it's that part of the world.
There's already a Burger King in Australia when Burger King expanded there, so they had to change
so
it to Hungry Jack's.
It's literally Burger King.
It's literally, yeah, it's just Burger King. No difference except they have to call themselves Hungry Jack's.
Wow, looking at the website right now, this is so neat.
It does look neat. It's a better name than Burger King, in my opinion.
I agree.
But this could be talking about the pancakes. I don't know. But if it's an app, it's probably, you'd have to think it's probably Burger King.
You know what day it is as far as like national days? Two weird ones. National Devil's Food Cake Day, okay? And National Barber Mental Health Awareness Day.
It's just oddly specific.
I know. I shouldn't laugh, but that's fair. I mean, the specificity of it is very
that's
funny.
Yes, the funny part is that it's very specific.
It's also funny to think that, like, barbers suffer more mental health. Like, it's like,
hey, check in on your local barber.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's more taxing than it. Like, it's especially taxing.
I don't
know,
man. You're dealing with the general public every day. I can see how that'd be taxing.
I can too. Any job where you deal with the general public on a day-to-day basis.
The TSA has caused some kerfuffle. You cannot take a protein shake larger than 3.4 ounces, but you can now take as many rotisserie chickens as you can fit in your luggage.
Nice.
So, Andrew's been eating all the
travel now, baby.
I have.
We're doing the Costco feast on the flight.
So can you do that? Can you take, like, outside food onto a plane?
Yeah. People will buy food at the airport and then
like eat it on the plane.
Yeah, and I think if you're flying domestically, you can even bring food from home. Yeah. But it seems like a pain in the butt to like meet all the standards and stuff.
Interesting. It doesn't bother me like how dare you, but it bothers me like I don't want to smell your food.
Yeah, if somebody cracked open a rotisserie chicken bag on the plane,
of all the things you can smell on a plane. That's not near the list of the worst ones.
Good point.
I don't know about that.
Really? I would rather smell roast chicken.
I was by
than
the mad farter last flight I was on, and it was awful.
I wasn't on that plane.
I might rather smell that
than a chicken.
Yeah. You'd rather smell
a fart than a chicken.
Come on,
any day.
I call.
I've been the problem guy on the plane.
Go get me a chicken, and we'll test
any
this.
Day.
I've been the problem guy on the plane. Take the chicken. Trust me, take the chicken.
Dave's favorite food is chicken, and he's trying to say he would rather smell a fart.
Dave loves rotisserie. Dave used to eat one rotisserie chicken a day, and now he's like, I'll take the fart. I don't know.
I don't like to give up my position.
The fart.
I have to go to Hungry Jack's now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the website. They have a Bistro Whopper. Looks like a Whopper with Swiss cheese. Yes, please.
What do you guys think? show for a week from Sydney?
Yes, let's do it.
I'd personally rather go to the Pancake Hungry Jacks, but...
Yeah, that depends. Will people be farting on the plane?
Well, it's a long flight,
dude. I need there to be plenty of farts if I'm going to agree to that flight.
It's a long flight to Sydney.
They have something called the Angry Brekkie Wrap.
Oh.
Yum. They just say whatever over there.
Dude, they're like, I love Australian slang. It's the best.
What else did they say?
I met a lot of Australians on my trip to Europe.
The C word a lot?
Yes.
And not a single one was normal.
Wait, what?
I'm so glad you said that, because there's a lot of Australians in Japan, and it's always like, what are you guys doing?
No, we were...
They are free-spirited, I'll give it that.
Yes, they're very loud.
It became a thing with my buddies and I. Like, we'd see a bunch of Australians, we're like, here we go.
You know what? When they see a bunch of Americans, they say the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There you go, mate. Look out for these blokes.
Oi.
Oi. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! You guys didn't answer.
I don't know what to say.
Oi, oi, oi!
Oh,
okay.
Some of us haven't been to Australia yet, Wheels.
I'm going. I'm getting an angry brekkie wrap.
That's where we're going. We're going to get brekkie wraps every day.
Perfect.
Go see some kangaroos.
A hooligan.
Gotta watch out for the spiders, though, man. The spiders down there. They don't play.
No, thank you.
They don't play.
Did you see any of the big spiders when you were down there?
I did not.
That's good.
Yeah. But they did tell us every day you put on your shoes, you got to check your shoes.
Oh, that's not good.
If I were you, I would lie and be like, yeah, I saw the biggest spider.
Yeah. Did not see a...
He was working at the hotel desk. Yeah,
did not see it. But
he served me at Hungry Jack's.
In fairness, all the places that were built like for the Olympics when I was there, they were all brand new, so I guess they hadn't been infested yet. But yeah, you gotta shake out your shoes. Watch out for them, guys. Those funnel web spiders are not nice.
Man, okay, speaking of like new buildings for the Olympics, I was watching a documentary the other day about St. Louis and... All of these buildings they had in Forest Park for the World's Fair. Like, there were so many buildings.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And you have to think, like, was it like a movie set type of building?
Right. Were they real? I think they were real.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. Andrew, let's find someone from the History Museum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had somebody a handful of years ago. We had a really, really good person.
Yeah, find someone different than that guy.
Okay.